Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, hey, we're continuing in our series about who we are, our foundations. In the fall, we always love to go back on birthday Sunday. We were 3 years old this past couple weeks ago, and we always love to go back and talk about the mission of the church. And the mission of the church becomes our personal mission, right? Because the church is not just four walls. Listen, if this building burnt down tomorrow, we would still be Hope City. It's not this building, all right? That's just a picture in the community where people know how to go. I always say like this, because some people say, well, the church isn't the building, and I agree with that. But if you're looking for an emergency room, you're going to go to the local emergency room to find help. Well, that's the same for a church. If you're looking for a spiritual emergency room, this represents that to the community, all right? So they know where to come when they're walking through difficult times. Oh, I just got word the HVAC is paid off. Can we give God a big hand? We totally just made it. Wow. That's so awesome. But we're talking about our foundations. We talked about, and really our foundations are our culture. What we want this place, if you have walked into this place and you felt love, that's because we said our foundation and our culture is loving people, loving God and loving people. All right? So when we're right here, then we're right towards other people. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We've been talking about that. Our mission is to love God. It's to love people. How do we love God and how do we love people? By making sure that they feel fully loved, safe to heal, equipped to make a difference. You've just heard our mission statement. We love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and we love our neighbor as ourself. And then we say, we want people to feel fully loved, safe to heal, equipped to make a difference. Last week, Pastor Cherie talked about being fully loved. And fully loving the people around us is sharing the good news with them. I don't know. If you were not here, you need to go back and listen to that message. It was powerful and very challenging. To love God and love people, we have to make sure they're fully loved. We do that here on Sunday mornings. And I want to challenge you. Don't let anything take you away from being here on Sunday mornings. Okay? Be here, because that's where people are fully loved. Then we take it the next step. We make it safe to heal. And that's what I get to talk to you about today. And what's fun about this year is we've all switched up, because we've normally talked like I would do fully loved, and Paula would do safe to heal, and I get to do safe to heal. Because I'll tell you, what really gets me excited is when I see people being healed from brokenness. What really gets me excited is when people's lives are turned around because they were once broken and God healed them. Right? We are creating an atmosphere where people feel safe to heal, because if you don't feel safe in a place, you'll never heal. And I get to talk about that today, and I love what God is doing. People are safe to heal in our life groups. If you're not part of a life group, I want to encourage you to get signed up today. Do we have that life group slide back there? The life group slide. Take the QR code and get plugged in. Men in this room today, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, we have life group for men that we're studying the armor of God. Be there. It is encouraging and life-changing. But there's life groups that are happening. And life groups is where we do life and where people get healed. Where people will say, I'm not walking this alone. Somebody's walking beside me. And you have an atmosphere where it's safe to heal, where it's safe to bring your stuff. As a church, we make sure that that is a main point, to be doing life together. And listen, if you're not here on Sunday, plugged into a life group, serving, you're missing out on what God has for you. You're on the outside when really you need to be on the inside, because that's where life change happens. So I'm dealing with safe to heal today. We are creating an atmosphere and a culture where people can drop their guards and feel safe to heal from pain and trauma. As the world moves farther and farther from Jesus, the more broken and lost people are going to be coming in our doors. I want to say that again. With all of everything we see around us, as the world moves away from Jesus and our country moves away from Jesus, the farther and farther we go, the more broken people are going to be. The more drug addiction. You wonder why there's drug addiction today? It's because people are lost and broken. Don't ever think that somebody's an addict because they want to be. They started to use to dull their pain. because they were broken and they were lost. They needed a place where it would be safe for them to heal, and the world has no answers. I don't care. You can do 55 recovery programs, and without Jesus, it's not the same. We need a place when people walk in our doors, they feel safe to heal. A safe place where they know they're loved. A safe place where they know they're not going to be judged. They're not going to be looked at in a way that says, we're better than you. No, we're not better than you. We just met Jesus first, and now it's your turn. Don't ever think you're better than somebody else because you met Jesus first. How about we get thankful because we met him before? We met him before somebody else met him. It doesn't matter what kind of a mess your life is in or how broken a person is, Jesus can heal and bring wholeness. Our job is to create an atmosphere where it's safe and where they'll be able to walk in. And no matter how messy their life is, there's going to be people that surround them and say, we are here to walk this out with you. We're here to walk this out with you. And what I love is you look, God is into healing. All throughout Scripture, we hear it. Look at Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. And I want to say something here, because it's not only people that are coming in, but even as Christians, we can be broken. Even as Christians, don't ever think, well, I've arrived. Don't ever think like, well, man, what are they going to think of me because I just got broken in a relationship? Or I got hurt. This is a place that no matter where you're at on your walk or on your journey, that you can come and get healed from brokenness. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy loves to keep you broken because it keeps you from all that God has for you. So if he can keep you broken even as a Christian and you don't feel safe to heal, you'll be stuck right where you're at. And that's something about Hope City that we're always encouraging you to take the next step. And I want to tell you, if you're broken in this room today, it's okay, and we're here to walk it out with you. But Pastor, I've been in church 20 years, and I've never dealt with this. That's the problem with the American church. You can go to church week after week after week and be broken and broken and broken, and no one ever says it's time to heal. It is time to heal. If you are broken, it is time to heal. Let God in. But Pastor, I'm supposed to have it all together. I've been a Christian for 20 years. No. It's okay to be broken. It's okay to say, there's things in my life that are broken and I need it to be transformed. Don't ever think we're all going to sit here and judge you because we're all broken too. Don't ever sit here and think, well, what are they going to think of me? I've got this massive insecurity issue because I was broken when I was little and no one knows. It is time to bring it out to the light. It's time to be healed. That's the kind of atmosphere we're creating here. And my question is, what are you going to do with your brokenness? Are you going to continue to live in it? My challenge to you, if you get broken out in this world, even as a Christian, get back here and get healed. See, what happens is people run away. They think going back is easier than keeping going forward. I put it on my Facebook this morning. Stop going backwards and keep moving forward. We must come together as a church and create a culture and atmosphere where it's okay to not be okay. I hope that when you're hurt and you're struggling and you're broke, you walk into this room, this building, and you start crying, and we run up and say, welcome home. We're going to wrap our arms around you, and we're walking to healing and wholeness. And I want you to know, stop walking around acting like you don't have the answer because you do. When you walk out of these four walls, I want to challenge you, every atmosphere you step into, bring healing to. Well, I just don't know what to tell people whose marriages are falling apart. How about you start sharing Jesus with them? I just don't know what to tell all these addicts that are struggling with addiction. How about we start sharing Jesus with them? How about we don't let them stay broken even when we walk out of these four walls? Well, what are they going to think about me, Pastor? I don't care what they think about me. If somebody's broken and lost, they need Jesus. He's the answer. They don't need treatment. They don't need 5 years of psychotherapy. They need Jesus. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he changes everything. We are not going to sit here and mask our brokenness and act like everything's okay when it's not. And everyone around you knows you're broken too. In fact, if you ask them, they'll tell you maybe. If they're honest, don't come to church every week and leave broken. How about we take some time to say, Jesus, heal me? Let's not just deal with the symptoms, never allowing God to deal with the root. I'm going to go here because I hear a lot of people always saying, well, I've just got church hurt. Stop letting church hurt keep you from all that God has for you. Well, I've just been hurt. Well, you get hurt at Walmart too, and nobody's walking around saying, I have Walmart hurt. I hate that place. You get hurt at Target. Well, I've got Target hurt, and I just can't go back there. It's a bunch of baloney. And everywhere I hear this, I've got church hurt. Well, then get back to a place where you can get healed. Don't let any hurt fester. Don't let any hurt keep you stuck and broken. The key to getting rid of hurt is forgiving. You got to go back and forgive. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I don't care what they did to you. It's not about them. It's about you. You are set free when you forgive. And I want to tell you something. You're going to get hurt in this life. There's going to be relationships that are broken in this life. You're going to come here. Somebody's going to say the wrong thing. Okay? Maybe. Hopefully not. But anytime we're around people, you risk the chance of getting hurt. So when you get hurt, you forgive. You don't hold on to it like a badge. Okay, God, I forgive. Well, you don't understand. I came from a broken home. Okay, so are you going to let that broken home be your badge, or are you going to overcome it and say, Jesus, I'm going to get healed from this brokenness because that's not what defines me, you do. That's the kind of atmosphere we're building. Don't let anything or any hurt. The enemy uses people and situations to bring brokenness in your life. So I want you to look back. If you're broken, I want you to look back to the scripture that says this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do not forget that. Because, listen, if you are looking at it from an earthly perspective, you've been hurt and the enemy has come through other people to break you and now you're stuck. Stop looking at the people that have hurt you and take this into a spiritual realm because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, you don't understand. I had a terrible dad. The enemy uses that to keep you stuck. Healing from brokenness is where it all begins. It's only with Jesus' help that we get over this hurt and brokenness. Here's the thing. The world does not have the answer to heal brokenness. That's why when you go out in the world, you see so much brokenness because they do not have the answer. That's where we're at today. The courts don't know how to answer this question. You're not going to get healed by going to some 12-step program. You might get better, but you get healed when you give your life to Jesus. And I want to tell you something. If you take one step towards him, he can do way more than 12 steps could ever do. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying today, God wants to heal your brokenness and can do it in an instant. I know this. Every issue that we see eating away at our society today is because people are broken. It's broken, plain and simple. And I've said it. We have to be a place that's safe to heal for the world, a place where they can come in our doors and meet Jesus. When we get the privilege to walk beside them and heal their brokenness with Jesus, no matter what it takes, the darker this world gets, the more broken people are going to be. We are building this into every fabric of who Hope City is. That's why we do soul care. If you miss soul care yesterday, you miss out what God is doing. We do soul care for people to find healing from their brokenness. Because we're not okay with just letting you leave broken. We want you to encounter Jesus where he can change your life. And that's what Hope City is all about. We're in this process of making this a place where it's safe to heal. No matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done in your life, if you're broken, come to Hope City and find hope and healing and be set free by God's love and power. And we're all going to be on this mission together. It's not just the four pastors. It's not just the 10 people. It's all of us. It's all of us. Jesus modeled this so many times in Scripture. One of my favorite times was in John 4. If you've got your Bibles with you, will you turn there? If you're on your phones, make sure you check in. I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories. I want to give you some highlights because it's 40 scriptures, 40 verses, all right? So I'm not going to read it all to you. Go home and read it. But here's what the deal. This is the Pastor Jason paraphrase, okay? All of a sudden, Jesus walked into a woman's world, and he changed her life. There was a woman, and we know the story, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus comes on the scene, and what I love about Jesus is he modeled what it looked like to create a safe atmosphere for people to be healed. He made it safe for people to be healed. He modeled it so well. So in John 4, Jesus left Judea and returned to Galilee. The Bible says that he had to go through Samaria. He came to a well where there was a woman, and he sat there, and he was tired. He was sitting by this well. A lady came up to the well, and Jesus asked her for a drink of water. Jesus set up a divine appointment with this woman. He went out of his way to go and meet this woman. The woman was surprised because Jewish people had nothing to do with Samaritans. See, it's kind of like what church people do to sinners. Well, I can't believe you. What's going on in your life? I'm so much better than you. But actually, with Samaritans, it was a racial issue, all right? The Jews viewed themselves so much better than Samaritans. It was a racial issue where Jewish people felt like they were superior to Samaritans. They would never have been caught dead walking through Samaria, and Jesus threw all that off and said, that's exactly where I'm going because there's a woman who needs me. The woman questioned Jesus and asked why he would want a drink of water from her. And I love how Jesus responded. John 4, 10 through 15, I want to read this to you. Jesus said this to this woman, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. The woman then said back to Jesus, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. Because you have to have a rope and a bucket to get water out of a well. But she missed what Jesus was trying to say. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give you will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Sounds like some inner healing going on right there. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Her soul literally leapt when she got into the presence of Jesus because there was healing for her. Because if you go on and you go on to read, then Jesus would call out the brokenness in her life. He wasn't just there to expose her brokenness. He was there to heal her brokenness and bring her to salvation. This is actually my favorite part of the whole story. When Jesus, in this conversation as it went on, Jesus told the woman, go get your husband. The woman responded saying, well, I don't have a husband. And I love how Jesus responded, John 4, 17 through 18. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You have five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with right now. You certainly spoke the truth. Now, you know, five husbands, this woman was a broken unit. And what I love about Jesus and what I love about this story, many of us would start the story out by saying, well, I went to this lady and I knew she had five husbands and I knew she'd been broken. Jesus didn't start there, right? He didn't start there. He said, look what I have to give you. He didn't go through everything that was wrong with this woman. That's what humans do. That's what we do. If we were writing that story, we'd go with everything that was wrong. It'd be a miracle if she could even be healed. It doesn't even really say that this woman was broken, but we know just by having five husbands, she would be broken. The woman thought that Jesus must have been a prophet. She didn't realize that she was actually talking to the Messiah. She'd been waiting for the Messiah to explain everything to her. It was at that moment where Jesus revealed that he was the Messiah and there to answer all of her questions and bring healing to this woman who had so much brokenness in her life. Jesus did not define her by her brokenness, though. He defined her on what she could be. We are not defined by our brokenness. We can't wear it as a trophy. It cannot be our badge. We have to say, Jesus, yes, I'm broken, but this is what you have for me. What defines you? Don't be defined by your brokenness. And of course, the disciples showed up, and they were shocked to find Jesus talking to this woman, the Bible says. They were shocked because Jesus did not talk to Samaritans. The Bible says that the woman, when she, the disciples were kind of what I would expect a typical response. They were shocked that, and it says this in the message, they were shocked that Jesus would be talking to this kind of a woman. So you know what was in their mind. They were defining her by the five marriages that she had had that had failed. Jesus was defining her on what she could be. When she knew that she'd been set free, and see, we don't read this scripture understanding what this would have done for her. We read it fast. She left her jar and went to tell everyone what Jesus had done. She left what would give her water. I see, in my mind, and this is the Pastor Jason paraphrase, so you can study it, you can figure it out, you can say whatever, but I think she went running from that place, telling everybody that she had just been set free, that God had just healed her. Her life was completely changed in an instant, and it was all because Jesus created an atmosphere where this woman was safe to heal. Why does it even matter to us? Here's why. If we're saying Hope City is a place that's safe to heal, that means that all of us have to work to create an atmosphere and work to maintain this atmosphere. Remember, you are Hope City. So what am I telling you? One, you got to get healed up. Get healed up from your brokenness, and we're here to walk it out with you. Two, let's never become a place where we're shocked when broken people come in here. Let's be a place that embraces them. Let's not see them for all of their issues. Let's see them for what they can be. I have four things to share with you really quick. First of all, Jesus went out of his way to meet this woman in her brokenness. He would have had to totally go out of his way to meet this lady. And I want you to know Jesus will go out of his way to meet you right where you're at. You don't have to get cleaned up. You don't have to get it fixed. If you could get it fixed, it would have already been fixed. Jesus will go out of his way to meet you. If you're broken here today, all he needs from you is you to give him permission to come in and do the work. Will you say yes to Jesus and let him in? Normally, Jewish people would do everything they could to avoid going to Samaria. Not Jesus, though. He had a divine appointment with this woman, and nothing would stop him from getting there. What do you do when you see lost, broken people? Whew, I'm going all the way around to get away from that person. How about we get right in the middle of their mess and say, I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you Jesus. Well, I don't want to get involved. It's just too messy. How about we start getting involved? And I'm not telling you to try to fix it on your own. All I'm saying is get in their world, start loving on them, give them Jesus, and let him do the work. Stop trying to avoid them. Some of you, in fact, God's calling you to do something pretty radical. He might be speaking to you and say, hey, listen, I want you to go down to the Greenway and start doing something down there. Let's get right into their world. Let's start loving on them. Let's start bringing this atmosphere where it's safe to heal right to where they're at. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. They're doing drugs down there. Yeah, I get it. That's where we need to be. Well, we're pretty comfortable at 3396 Avenue A in White City, and like nothing ever happens out here. We're good, so we're just going to stay here. How about we go and find people? How about we say, Jesus, show me. When I'm driving down the road and I need to stop and love on somebody, do everything you can to get into people's lives who are broken, and it's not your job to fix them. It's your job to introduce them to Jesus. Don't be shocked when you see sinners sin. Don't be shocked when you see people doing something because they're broken. And what I love about Jesus, he always hung around people who were broken. If you look at where Jesus is at, he'd be right in the middle of the Greenway. He'd probably have a tent right down there going, okay, I've opened up this tent for all the people that are broken and homeless, and I'm here right in the, he would not be, well, I can't say it. All right. He'd be in the middle. He wouldn't be in some beautiful church sitting there on a Sunday morning. He'd be right down where the people are at. Jesus is calling us to get right down to where the people are at. Friends, we have got to go out of our way to be around people who are lost and broken. Part of creating an atmosphere where it's safe to heal means that we, like I said, we have to allow Jesus to heal us first so then we can give that out to others. The disciples showed us what not to do. Don't be shocked when people walk into your life that are broken. This is my perspective on it. I think the disciples forgot what it was like to be lost. They've been around Jesus so much, they forgot that each one of them was a hot mess. You might think disciples, oh, those disciples, they must have been so holy. No, they were a hot mess. You have fishermen. You've got guys who were a mess. You've got, and they say that the disciples were probably like 19, 20 years old. So think back, 19 and 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds, 20, they're a mess most of the time. We love them, but they're a mess. Why do you think the disciples, Jesus had three disciples he kept really close? I think probably because they were like at school, the ones that caused the most trouble sat the closest to the teacher. But they had the audacity to be shocked when Jesus was hanging around sinners. I think they forgot what it was like to be lost. They forgot what it was like to be broken. They looked down on this lady because who she was. I want you to think back to think about what Jesus saved you from. What did Jesus bring you out of? And don't ever forget it, because he wants to do it for every person in your life. Some of us, we've grown up, well, I've just been a Christian my whole life, and man, everything's just been wonderful. Well, good for you. So let's get into some people's lives who are broken, and let's help them. Because thank God you had a good family. Thank God that you weren't in the midst of brokenness. Thank God that Jesus was with you. Thank God that your parents made those decisions. But let's find some people that are broken and help them find healing from that brokenness. Are you guys with me? It's quiet. We have to also be careful that we don't buy into the lie, because here's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to look at people and go, well, thank God I'm not that bad. Thank God I'm not like them. Thank God. I think that's what the disciples probably did. We're all in need of healing from brokenness. If you're a little farther along, be thankful. Do your best to help people who are broken find the same kind of healing you found. Key number two, the Bible says, and I've read this story so many times, but this never hit me like it did when I was writing this sermon. Jesus was exhausted, but he didn't give up on the woman. It is exhausting doing what we're talking about, because it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of us showing up. It takes a lot of us saying, God, we're going to create an atmosphere. If you read, it says that Jesus had been exhausted from this long trip. It would have been so easy for him to say, oh, no, I'm going to bed. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. But he didn't. He said, okay, I have a divine appointment. He was worn out because he'd been helping people. I don't know about you, but I want to be so worn out by helping people. Now, I'm not talking about being unhealthy. All right, you got to take your Sabbath because you can't go down with them, all right? But how about we put it on the line and we say, God, whatever it takes, I'm there, even if I'm going to be a little bit tired. I want to tell you, planting a church, it's tiring. I can tell you. Like, there's days where we're tired. But you know what keeps me going? Seeing lost people who are broken healed. That's what keeps us going. It takes a lot of work. Even when we're tired, we have to keep looking for divine assignments to help people find healing from their brokenness. Part of helping walk people to healing and creating a safe place to heal means we're going to walk beside people. We're not going to fall in the pit with them, but we're going to walk beside them, and that can be tiring. One of the things we also say at Hope City is we're not going to cycle with people. So we're going to keep them moving one step at a time. Key number three, Jesus accepted her just the way she was. He didn't come into the picture trying to change her. And I think sometimes when we look at lost, broken people, we try to change them first before allowing the love of Jesus to transform them. I love the fact that Jesus did not define her by her brokenness. He said, this is what you can be. He made a way for her to be healed and whole. Jesus already knew what was in this woman and what she had done, and he accepted her. He went out of his way to meet this woman and help her heal from her brokenness. And see, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We're going to accept them for where they're at, but we're not going to leave them there. We're not going to say it's okay to stay there. We want to help you walk out of it. Jesus didn't come after this lady, guns blazing, like come right at her and say, listen, woman, I know you've had five husbands. What are you doing? Like, why would you be in this spot? No, he came and said, I've got something to give you. We can't come and point. People already know they're broken. They don't need it pointed out. People already know that they've done wrong. People already know that they're in this brokenness. What they're looking for is an answer to find freedom and hope, and that's our goal. Look at the disciples again. They were not happy that Jesus was hanging out with this kind of a woman. We had an old, we were in a church in St. Louis. When we were in St. Louis, I had our congregation, because we did a lot of work with people in recovery. And they said, well, these people. And one Sunday, I just was so fed up with it. I got up and said, stop saying these people. We are these people. All of us. We are these people. We may not struggle with addiction, but we struggle with worry and anxiety and fear. And I mean, like, come on, we are those people. Stop saying, because it makes you feel like you're better than the person that's walking through difficult times. Don't ever think, like I said, you're better than somebody else because you met Jesus first. Jesus did not put this woman on blast. And that's part of creating a safe atmosphere. We're not going to point out people's brokenness and point out all that's wrong, but we're going to say, listen, we know you're broken, but we're going to help you find healing. Because God doesn't care about a person's past. He's only concerned about their future. And I think that's where we have to be, concerned about their future. We have to care enough to build a relationship with people, and that's what Jesus did. Jesus modeled, and he showed us the importance of others, loving them well. And I want to tell you, it's not our job to change people. If God wants somebody to change, he'll do it. Our job is just to introduce them to him. He'll take care of the rest, I promise. Key number four, and I've said this already, but I want to hit it again. Jesus saw what she could be, not just what she was at the moment. Jesus sees what you can be, not what you are just at that moment. And when you have somebody like Jesus who believes in you like he does, man, it changes everything. Because what would happen is when this woman got healed, she literally would usher in a revival to the Samaritans and literally see thousands of people saved and introduced to the Messiah. God sees what you can be, not what you are. We have to see what people can be, not what they are at that very moment. We have to put on glasses, God's glasses, and say, okay, help me to see this woman. Help me to see this man that I'm standing right in front of the way Jesus sees them. Could it be that the brokenness in your life, the enemy has used to keep you from God's plan and all that he had for you? Could it be that once that brokenness is healed, that you're going to go out and you're going to transform people's lives with your story? Could it be that there's so much potential for the kingdom, the enemy's using you? You just need somebody to come alongside and believe with you that you can be healed. That's where we want to be, that person at Hope City. We want to come alongside and say, listen, we believe better. We believe God has more for you than what you know at this moment. That's what creating a safe atmosphere, a place that's safe to heal, looks like. And all of us are on this journey.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.